Oh, boy. Wes, you did a great job. In fact, I think we ought to, like, pattern every service every Sunday like this. This was a blast. Dave Schmitz is back there going, oh, no, he has another idea. Yeah, that's right. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's so awesome to be here tonight, and been so awesome celebrating as a family. I want to really just encourage us. And, you know, the gospel message is preached in so many ways, you know, all from when we start Christmas at the Crossing all the way until now. We go around, we hear the whole gospel story. When you go around and hear the pre-recorded track, it's preaching you about the story of Christ coming to the earth. And I was just looking over certain scriptures, and, you know, in the gospel story, it says that, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And I started thinking about that, because why didn't God say, like, and he'll be called God over us, or in control of us? Or thank God it wasn't God against us. That would be bad. But he chose with us. He chose this description that talks about a God who could very easily make us all his slaves. In fact, you know, when you study church history and you study theology, one of the things you learn is there was all of these Mesopotamian narratives that took place that were written around the time when, you know, the whole Bible was taking shape. And you know what set Christianity apart from all the other things was the fact that God didn't create humans to serve him, meaning like as slaves. He chose to create humans because he wanted to create something he could bless. This set apart God from all other religions, all other narratives, this idea that this God was so good that he wanted to create humans so he could bless them. So this whole idea of God with us is a revolutionary concept. And it speaks of God's heart. It speaks of his nature. You know, we start looking at things like, see, I have to go to my scripture on my phone, and the prison jail is calling me. I will talk to you later, brother. Genesis 12. Listen, I just want you to hear the heart of God in these. All throughout the whole Bible, I'm just going to pull some excerpts of some quick scriptures. Genesis 1. Verse 26. God creates all of these things in the earth, and then he says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. And, you know, I could see him just like, as he's just like this idea of creating human beings welled up in his heart. And he was just overjoyed as he just thought, and they're going to have dominion just like me. They're going to rule. They're going to reign over this created order that I give them. I mean, this is incredible. And he gives them all these things, every herb that yields seed, every tree, every beast, everything that creeps. Genesis 12, then Abraham comes. And he's saying, you know, follow me into a new place that I have for you. To a land I'll show you, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So here it is, this promise again revealing, exposing God's heart as a God who wants to bless human beings. He created us to bless us. He wants to show his goodness to us. Now we're going to get to the part about, well, then why do these terrible things happen? Listen to this, Joshua. Just a few more quick scriptures. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And that is a word for every single one of you in here. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is an incredible, incredible concept. You know, even the Great Commission, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them all things, all of these things. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. This concept is extraordinary. It's lavish. And I want you to really think, this is the heart of my message, is that this Christmas, you know, you can think of a lot of things. But will you walk in the reality that God is with you? He's not just over you. You know, there's a lot of well-meaning people that quote-unquote fear God, and they're like, you know, the guy upstairs. Well, the guy upstairs doesn't acknowledge this extraordinary principle that God is with you. He's not up there, just don't mess around with him, you know. If you're really, hey, don't worry, you know, I'm a good person. You know, the guy upstairs, you know, he approves of me. Well, I'll tell you this, the guy upstairs sees none of us as good. He sees us all as very fallen and bad. The only thing that filters that is the great gift of Jesus Christ. Why is there such a fuss made of this God sending his son Jesus down into a manger? It's because he became the salvation of the earth. So with him, with Jesus, we have life. We have forgiveness. We have healing. We don't have to say, well, I'm a good person, I'll make it to heaven. If anyone who says that next time is going to be haunted by my voice. And you'll never say, I'm a good person. I'll make it to heaven. I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. Stop lying to yourself. Because you've messed up once. And the Bible says if you've messed up once, you've been guilty of all. That is the extraordinary gift of Jesus, because he's given. And the worst scoundrel can receive Jesus, that gift, and be washed clean. And when the Father looks, he says, my son is with him. I am with him. You know, it really is true. It is all about who you know. Psalm So none of us are good. We're all very fallen. We're all very bad. Christ begins to jump inside us. He's with us. When we receive Jesus Christ as Emmanuel, this simple baby born in a manger enters into the earth. He's crucified. He was buried. He's risen from the dead. And then he says, wait in Jerusalem until I send you my Spirit. What is that? It's God's heart from Genesis all the way through Revelation saying, I have to be with my people. So then he sends his Holy Spirit. And he comes and jumps inside of us as believers in Jesus. And we receive that gift of the Spirit. And he's now with us. Now, he's not with us in some religious... I used to have a friend, bless his heart, too. He's hanging around the same kind of people that said the God upstairs, you know, the big guy upstairs. And he'd go, and he lived across from a church. And, you know, I happened to be on a sports team with them. And when I really came to Jesus in high school, he was one of my best friends. And, you know, my name used to be B.A. because I just was really intense in sports. So they call me Bad Attitude because I was just psyched myself up before events. And, you know, you can't see it now. I'm older and softened and seasoned now. But back then, you know, I had a mohawk half the time. And I was just kind of radical. And I know, it's amazing, right? So then I got saved, and the whole team started calling me B.A. Born Again. And so I kept my name, and they changed the meaning on me. But it became this whole point of, I am born again. And I remember I was witnessing to all my friends in high school, telling me about this incredible God that was with us. And I remember, like, my friend used to go and sit in front of this church with this big steeple and hold a cross and just kind of go, and just used to feel warm vibes. And he'd be like, yeah, I know he's real. I know, Sean. Like, I feel warm. I'm like, bro, there's more to it than that. You don't have to, the big guy upstairs doesn't have to just give you goosebumps. He can walk with you all throughout the day. And this is what separates the religious or people who have these warm feelings from a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. It's called relationship. He walks with you. It means every step, every day. He moves at work with you. He moves with your family with you. He moves in your friendships with you. Those hard times that, you know, it's clear, you know, we don't understand everything. Even the disciples, when they were being told, wait in Jerusalem, they're asking all these questions. And you know what Jesus says to them? Listen, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Just obey me and go there and wait for my power, would you? So I can be with you. And you know, many times in life, we're always making demands of God. Lord, I need to understand. Why is this terrible thing happening? I don't understand. So-and-so, they had a flood. Things went really easy. Why is it taking me so long? Don't worry. I'm with you. Trust me. Is your heart with me? Because I'm with you. Trust, 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 trust. We don't have all the answers. But we have the promise that he is with us. And he will be with us till the ends of the age. If we have Jesus, folks, he truly makes a difference in your life. He is not some dead religious figure that just sits up there and says, well, are you going to be good or not? Are you on the naughty list or the nice list? The nice one? Way to go, buddy. It's all because of Jesus, right? Say right. We don't have all the answers. You know, and I know a lot of you struggle. A lot of you struggle on a daily basis. Some of you with your health. Some of you with finances. Some of you with serious emotional struggles. That's grueling. It's hard to even conceive how you're still hanging in there on a natural level, right? And I want to encourage you. The key is in looking to Jesus and allowing the awareness of him being with you. Because whatever hell you're in, if he's with you, you're going to make it out okay. And if you could just grab hold of this Christmas, because, man, the holidays seem to just, I don't know, the stress levels just go, especially when things aren't going like you plan them to go. And we need to look to Jesus and we need to say, Lord, I am celebrating. I mean, listen, some of you need to like put this on your mirror in your bathroom or your bedroom. God is with us. God is with me. God is with me. Because you need to hear it over and over, and you need to walk in the reality that he is with you. And that is the only thing that's important in life. Because whatever hell you face, whatever disappointment you face, whatever difficulty, hardship, trial, if God is with you, it will work out. He works things out for the good for those who love him. Put your trust in Christ. Some of you may not know Jesus here today. And I want to give you an opportunity, because this isn't some, you don't have to go through like 20 weeks of catechism. Oh, now I've done it. I can now be someone who has God with them. You don't have to go through a course. You don't have to pass tests. There'll be plenty of tests to come once you meet Jesus, where you can like say, okay, I'm going through this crazy time. And he's like, act like I'm with you. Do you know I'm with you? Then walk that way. Walk that way. And I'll tell you what, every one of us still learns this. We can know Jesus for 2 decades. And there's just somehow that things seem to get the worse than they've ever been. It's not like this is progressive, but we always face greater challenges than we faced in our life. Because that's how tests work, right? You take 101 classes before you can take 201 classes and 301 classes. Well, a walk with Jesus is a walk where we're being trained and raised up so that we can exert authority like him. Take dominion. That we can exert authority. That we can be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we can reflect his image. And God's not some chump. He is quite the warrior, quite the overcomer. He faced death on the cross, torment, all the demons surrounding him, and he was resolute saying, no, I will stand firm for them. I love them. I will purchase them. No compromises. 100%. I will give myself. I'll empty every ounce of my life out before them, that the Father will resurrect me and I'll be able to release my Holy Spirit to every heart, everyone who trusts me. Wow. And this is what he's training you to be. You wonder, why is conflict hit my life? Why do I have to overcome so much? Why do I have to fight with this physical ailment, with this emotional like torment that just goes round and round in my mind? Because you must resist to gain more power and authority in Christ. You must stand. When you don't know what to do, you stand. Yeah. And as you're doing that, you're flexing and you're right, Josiah? This is how it works. So I'm a Messianeth who could come up and show us some things too. You know, it's fun. We laugh about it now, but when you're this past week, when you're in it and you're ready to feel like you're going to lose your mind and you know what all the right things are, you know, you sit there and go, I know he's with me. I know he's with me. But this feels awful. And I'm discouraged. And I'm on the verge of depression. This is real stuff, folks. But I'll tell you what, it's the stuff that makes champions. It's the stuff that makes overcomers. And you know, I just have to, this Father God of ours doesn't sit back and say, oh, performance 8.9. Man, that last trial could have had a little bit more form there. And, you know, that rolling of the eyes when you were just through that spiritual warfare section right there, man, you know, should have probably left that out. Notice I chose rolling over the eyes over swearing. We're advanced level here. Just wonder if frickin' is a swear. Jesus. Uh-oh, we lost 5 people from the church tonight. Shoot. 6, Gary, don't leave, please, brother. Please.
Nice, Gary.
I love your ties, man. Please. I know this is funny, but I'm trying to be real because you know what I'm talking about because you live it. You don't always have that smile you got on that Sunday church or what day is it? Friday night church. Is it really? Or Thursday or Sunday, right? And I think sometimes you enter into this place where you think God's grading you. And then you feel like a loser and you spiral. I see it differently. I see God saying, oh, yeah, they're still ticking. Yeah, they might kick and scream and, you know, ah, but you know what? They're going to make it. I see them in a few days from now and they're overcoming. They chose not to give up and they're still moving and they're still running toward a mark of the high prize, the calling of Jesus. They're pressing on. And I just got it. I know this daddy God has a heart for his kids. And some of you need to get over the condemnation. It's like you're going through the biggest hell season of your life. And you roll your eyes. He's like, keep going, keep going. I know it's miserable. Keep going. God doesn't like live and judge every single moment. He looks at the big picture and he says, that's my child and I'm proud. He's becoming a man in my image. He's becoming a woman in my image. And some of you need to just keep carrying on. Press in, press in. And I'll tell you what, whatever you got to do, I'm serious about this. Whenever I had a word that God used to speak to me in college, you know, because it was a trial, like a daily battle of living on campus at BU and sharing my faith. And I used to just hang signs everywhere in my dorm room. And like a dream, I'd try to just draw little image stick figures to represent it, right? Because I'm not much of an artist. But when I woke up every morning and the first place I looked was right up on this beam, and I saw a dream I had of the authority Christ gave me and how small the enemy was in all his little torments. I'd wake up and I'd look at it and go, oh yeah, that's going to be this kind of day. Overcomer. God is greater. And I'm telling you, some of you need to start ramping it up. You know, even this week through the holidays into the new year, you need to start posting things around the place, testifying that God is with you. He is causing you to be an overcomer. And I'll tell you what, when you come from this vantage point, you grow faster, you perform better. Everything out of this confidence and this love, you begin to do things and not feel like a loser being criticized. No one performs well with that. No one. When you wake up and you like, well, hey, it doesn't matter. He's going to love me whether I flop or whether I do great. I'm going to just give it my best shot. And I want to challenge you to live in this. Live in it. Walk in it. Grab hold of it. And if there's anyone here that you don't know Jesus, and tonight's been kind of an eye-opener, you're like, for number one, if I didn't know Jesus and I came to this church, the first thing I'd say is, man, these guys know how to have fun. That's for sure. But then I would have been shocked by the fact that, and it's not all about this stiff religion. Like, it's about this God who loves his children. If that's here, if that's you tonight, if you're in this place where this is kind of a new thing to you, you can turn to Jesus tonight, and you can stop this ridiculous line of, like, I'm a good person, or he accepts me as I am. No, he really doesn't. He doesn't, because there's only one way that our faults are overlooked. Someone had to pay the price. His name is Jesus. And it's through Jesus that I stand before God, and he says, come, Sean. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't see all the bad things that you did do, and you know it. Come, I see you through my son whose blood has washed you clean. And it's the only thing that we stand before the living God and are welcomed by, is that you come with the name of Jesus. He is your all in all. You don't come and say, hi, I'm Sean. I'm sure you know me. And the Father's like, yeah, I do know you. I know you really well. Did I tell you that I love Jesus and he is everything to me? And that I realize my frailties. Sometimes I'm kept up at night about my deficiencies and how difficult it is. But did I tell you that Jesus Christ sacrificed for me? And that is why I stand here and ask to come in. And the Father says, come in. That's my son. So often we just don't live in that place. We live in this performance thing. If that's you here tonight, I want you to come up, and as we start worshiping, let's just have the altar team up here now. Like, anyone, the prayer team, come on up. I just feel like, man, some of you are going to leave here with a whole new life, a whole new way of living, and it's not some set of religious dogma that you have to learn who he is. Like anyone that would meet someone new for the first time. Ian, I bet you it's taken you guys a while to get to know each other a little bit, right? You know, as friends. Well, that's the same with God. Takes a while to get to know God, who he is, what he likes, what he dislikes. And if you're here today and you want to know God in a more personal way, I don't care if you've been in church 10 years. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight. It's about you've been in church 20 years and you're at a place of revelation, realization tonight, that he is with you and you haven't fully recognized that, and you want that deeper to become a reality in your life, then come and respond. And then if those of you with other prayer requests would just hold off for about 10, 15 minutes, let people come forward who just really want to connect with God. And we have plenty of time we're going to pray for you, pray for any of your needs, and let's believe God. I'm just praying for all of you up here that miracles would flow through you, that they'd be given out by Jesus like gifts. Gifts to his people, who he loves. Gifts that are backed up and verified by the blood that he shed on that cross for all of us. So Lord, let it be. I just pray, pour it out on your people. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your love. I pray for every hungry heart in this place, everyone that's yearning for more. And you're doing something new inside their heart tonight. There's a rumbling, a stirring of life that they haven't experienced. Come on, let's just pray now. Just cry out to the Lord. Just say, Jesus, I just want you in my life. I want to realize how with me you are. I pray every morning when I wake, you show me that you are with me. Every day when I make decisions, Lord, let me be aware that you're with me. You're with me in the good times. You're with me in the bad times. You're with me when I want to give up. And the only reason I carry on is you're with me. And I just pray for that to be poured out in every heart in this place, that this Christmas will be like no other Christmas, because God is with us and we know it. So thank you for what you did on the cross. I believe that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you died on that cross and shed your blood, a sacrifice to wash my sins away. And that after you were dead, crucified, and buried, you rose from the dead and poured out your Spirit. And I want that tonight, Lord. Your presence, that you're with us. Come on, talk to him in your own words now. And we're just going to worship him. And if you'd like prayer for, maybe this is the first time you really came to God in any kind of way, come and find someone to agree with up in here in prayer. And let's just see God do great things and hand out gifts and miracles tonight. Amen.